Sometimes he didn't know. Okay.
All right.
So we're here today at the Oklahoma Men's Conference, the 22nd annual In the Father's Footsteps, here with one of the speakers for today, Mr. Patrick Coffin. We do this every time. Every time I introduce you.
Patrick!
I guess, yeah. You're going to have to do that whenever we introduce you on stage for real.
So that wasn't shtick. You are introducing me.
Yeah, we really are. Man. Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny because...
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see how this goes.
Can this be like the rehearsal? Yeah.
So Ray sends us...
They sent us your bio and I immediately deleted it without reading it.
Yeah, I don't want any true information in the bio.
Yeah.
And by the way, that means I want you to inflate it, not deflate it.
Yeah. But, you know. Yeah, he sent it to us like, yeah, we're not using this.
Okay, gentlemen. Great. Looking forward to my pottery talk.
I'm really excited to see what we have to say.
Thanks. Yeah, you're getting the fruit of a lot of mistakes I've made, and my title is The Key to Manhood in Christ. What's the key? I can't tell you now. I could, but I would have to be killed.
Right. Sure.
Spoiler alert.
All will be revealed in the fullness of time.
Okay. Be patient.
Something about that.
Things come to us.
I believe you. I do. I believe you.
There's something about your face that makes me believe you.
He's just so Canadian. He's very pathologically trustworthy. One of my favorite deep thoughts by Jack Handy. People over 40 know what that is. People under
40. I know Jack Handy. I can quote a couple Jack Handy lines. Yeah.
Well, here's one of my favorites is, broken promises have never bothered me. I just think, why did they believe me?
Yes. I can imagine a world full of peace and harmony where there's no war and no conflict. And then I can imagine us attacking that world because they'd never expect it.
100%. Yeah.
So you go to men's conferences all over. This is...
I do. I love them. There's something... The way I put it is, to use a radio metaphor, is the Holy Spirit is on the air. And more men are tuning in to what the gospel means for them. And no longer seeing their faith life as something that's for the wife to do. It's women's work. It's, you know... Because so many men... They kind of go through their Catholic faith in mechanical mic mode. Hey, I want the check for Father. I'm a knight. I flipped pancakes.
Yeah. Right.
But a living relationship with Christ that they can talk about and communicate with their children is a different thing. I mean, my dad was Catholic, and I made all my sacraments as a kid. My father never prayed with me. Beyond bless us, Lord, and these I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And part of my message is that we have extraordinary eyes to where we've made extraordinary things that are supposed to be ordinary in the Christian life. Fathers are supposed to pray with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest indicator for stable, lifelong Catholic faith is a good witness of the Father. And when people leave the faith, they've already done so by the age of 23. And so... Men, you know, men, you invite them to an adventure and they're on board. If you set the standard low, you know, Jesus calls us sheep. We're all prone to living up to the adventure to which we're invited.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah. And I find that, like, yes, you're right. If you present it to a man the right way, you know, where you talk, you know, where they get the notion that there's a nobility in being the leader of your house spiritually, you know, that there is like a greatness to it.
Yeah.
You know, that all of a sudden now I'm enticed. You know, there's something attractive about that for me as a man that...
Well, and think of how much that very role, the nobility, I mean, we kind of poo-poo the word chivalry, but that's what it is. It's a kind of a courtly... A role where it's servant leadership. It's not domination.
Mm-hmm.
But men are so confused now. Start the list with second wave feminism.
Yeah.
The idea of man as head. It's like, are you insane?
Mm-hmm.
Hitler, Satan,
right.
Mm-hmm. Stalin. But that is the traditional teaching of the church, that the man is the bishop of his household. He's a servant of servants.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's almost like scandalous to even say that. Mm-hmm. Like you say, like, the man is the head of the house these days, and you're under attack.
Right.
Yeah,
try to tweet that. See what happens.
Right. Even with the proper caveat that the woman is the heart of the family.
Right.
If I remember, I'll be sharing an act that I can do a little quick preview here.
Okay.
For your listeners.
You're welcome,
we'll
guys.
Just talk quietly.
Okay.
Shh. Everybody.
No pictures.
Everybody.
No pictures. I heard this great anecdote from Kimberly Hahn at a conference, and she was talking about power. And she tells this anecdote of a boy and a girl, brother and sister, and they're 7 years old, and they're playing pirates.
Uh-huh.
So he's got all the boy's got his R and he's got his parrot and he's got, and so they have an argument about who's going to be the captain of the pirate ship. And the girl says, I'd like to be the captain. The boy says, I'm the captain. No, I'd like to be the captain. Forget about it. I'm the captain. So the girl, after a while, she stops arguing. She goes, okay, fine. You be the captain. I'm the captain's mother. So where's the power reside exactly? Yeah. So we can say head of the household, and it's true, but that's only half of the equation.
Right.
Every king needs a queen.
Uh-huh.
And this is why God, you know, God made us to belong to each other with complementary roles. We've lost that. Now with Facebook's 56 pronouns, genders.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By the way, 71 in the UK now.
71.
71.
We're behind.
Let's be honest. That's impressive.
That's ambitious,
like,
man.
I really am. It's like, that is, you, someone has spent a lot of time on this. Like,
yeah.
Talking about We're distinctions.
Stuck with two genders.
Right. Yeah. Like, I couldn't divide people up that much. Based on who you're attracted to.
It's almost
not attracted at all to.
Yeah. Whatever
Asexual.
It is. Yeah.
Think of it. It's linguistic Protestantism. The splinterized, I have the truth. No, wait. There's no overarching living authority to say, that's insane.
Right.
Male and female, he made them. And that's
And you know, like, I think as men, we feel the attack on men. You know, there's an attack on masculinity. But I was thinking about this the other day, and there's also an attack on femininity. Like, if you were to say to a feminist that, you know, like, a man is the head of the house, or like, you know, these are the things that tend to be masculine traits. And I don't know if science has proven that men just are more naturally gifted at math. I mean, I know there are plenty of women who are fantastic at math, much better than I am. But it seems like men tend to like math more than girls do.
Yeah.
And girls tend to like English more than boys do. Okay, but for instance, if you were to say, have a conversation with a feminist and she was talking about like, oh, so men are supposed to be smart and what are girls just supposed to sit there and look pretty?
Take home ec.
Right, exactly. Right. And to me, I was thinking like, why would you put down the fact that one of the things that's great about women is that they're beautiful? You know, like beauty is one of the great things about women. And yet they want to write that off as that's totally worthless. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that women are beautiful, what does that even mean? It's like, it means a lot, okay?
Even if you add the proviso, inside and out.
Right.
The idea of someone having qualities that you identify with beauty is somehow less important when God himself is the source of all beauty.
Right. Because it's not a brain. You know, women want to be men. Mm-hmm. You know, not all women, but that's kind of what they...
the movement.
Be a woman. Because it's awesome.
How Chesterton defined feminism in the early 30s. It's hatred of the chief feminine virtues.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So Lawrence Summers lost his job over saying what you just said. Larry Summers was the president of Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke probably 10 years ago at an engineering science conference. And he just casually said, why is it that men dominate the hard sciences, math, engineering? He wasn't saying, dragging troglodyte. This is Lawrence Summers, the left-wing president of Harvard. Well, some feminist... mathematicians got up and they protested and they stormed out. Well, he was eventually fired. And I remember reading an interview and he was talking about the overreaction to his common sense observation about the proportion of men in this particular area of arcane engineering and science. And he said, well, my wife and I had little kids. We tried to encourage the girls to do boyish things and vice versa. And I would give my girls trucks. And I would come back an hour later and the mommy truck was taking care of the baby truck, you know.
Right.
Just this is a pre-linguistic difference here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but there's some certain thoughts you can't have and certain things you can't say unless you want to, you know, wait for the whirlwind pushback, which
right.
is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that I love seeing about this conference is that there's over 100 young men here today.
I did notice that.
And we even have a group for lunch to make sure that we cater to them for a talk specifically for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's super important.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, these are the prospective future conference organizers and
right.
stalwart, you know, ambassadors.
Yeah.
One thing I'm impressed about the conference, and not just the organizational, it's like a well-oiled machine. From a speaker's point of view, believe me, not all conferences are created equal. It's the organic growth that's enjoyed over 22 years. Some other men's conferences, they either try to get a celebrity name or they want to go for the, let's get 10,000 people. Well, that happened in Boston about 10 years ago. They had 7,000, then they had 5,000. Then it went away.
Yeah, they don't have one.
There's
yeah.
no substructure left. So this kind of steady growth, I'm sure there's ups and downs, but word of mouth, the power of the shoulder tap. You know, you guys have probably met lapsed Catholics or people who were away and then they came back. When you ask them, so what took you so long? No one invited me.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that just happened to a buddy of ours. Told him he's doing some physical massage therapy with him. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're Catholic? He wasn't going to church. And he said, well, you should listen to the Catholic Man Show. And I mean, it's not like we did anything profound on the show. It was just kind of that his invitation to like, why don't you do something Catholic again? And now all of a sudden that guy's going back to church because he was invited.
And that guy listened to 5 shows before he knew that you were Catholic.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want to share the background of that?
So last night we had our dinner and the guy who heads us up, Ray Heffley, he came up to Patrick and said, yeah, one of the older deacons from the Archdiocese started listening to the Catholic Man Show and he said, I listened to the thing for 45 minutes. I didn't even know it was a Catholic show.
Which I immediately went, that's fantastic. Yeah. You were listening to something you didn't even know was Catholic and you listened for 45 minutes?
Yeah, like, it kept you with no references to purgatory in the Bible.
You were looking for something Catholic, found something that you didn't think was Catholic, but you kept listening.
And it held your interest. That's the best. That's how I would have interpreted it, too.
I like that interpretation. Yeah.
All right.
Really ambiguous, Batman.
Yeah.
I guess because it's a podcast, the cigarette thing I'm doing is not going to
work. Yeah. It doesn't translate very well.
But you know what does translate well on podcasts is card tricks. No.
Totally. Is that your card?
Yes.
Yes. Wasn't that amazing?
I'm doing the Iron Man pose. Bonk. Yeah.
So what's next? What do you have going on in the pipeline of the Patrick Coffin Show?
Well, I've found that my...
This is good material for us, by the way, when we introduce you. So
terrific.
Make sure.
Well, pottery first hit the scene in Egypt. I found that my own... when I follow down my own interests, the listeners out there also love it. It's not 100% overlap, but one thing I've decided to do is... if I think of more than one guest on one topic, I'll just cluster them in a series. So I've done 4-week series on porn addiction, from the neurobiological, from the spiritual, from all that. And I just finished a 4-week cycle on transgenderism, featuring former transgender activist Walt Heyer, then Hudson Biblo, who's like a cross-dressing, confused gay guy who came to Christ. Dr. Michelle Critella, she's the president of the American College of Pediatrics, how this trans ideology is infesting the pediatrics world and foisting it on children. And then next week, it's Dr. Ryan Anderson, who is the man.
Yeah, he's awesome.
His new book is called When Harry Became Sally, responding to the transgender movement. I'm also doing a series on the evangelical power of beauty. So I'm interviewing a country music guy you may have heard of, Colin Ray.
Yes.
Very cool.
Let's just keep going. Also, Morten Lauridsen, who's the most... performed American choral composer. He's phenomenal. Oh my gosh. This guy, Morten Lauridsen. Look him up. You're welcome.
Okay. Morten?
M-O-R-T-E-N.
Like salt. Like the salt.
Well, it's M-O-R... No, T-E-N.
Oh, E-N. Okay. Yeah,
and then
gotcha.
Lauridsen, L-A-U-R-I-D-S-E-N. I got Mr. Lauridsen's name from my other former guest, Dana Gioia, the poet laureate
of California. I thought it was Goya.
Is it Gioia? It's Gioia.
Gioia.
We've been pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, well, I stopped pronouncing it wrong a while ago, but
fair enough.
I left you in the dark.
Yeah.
Sucker.
I like to have something to judge you.
So clusters, so themes. What else?
Your book.
Yeah, my book. I'm just finished a reboot of Sex and Natural, which have a different title. I'm trying to rope in pottery if I can. It's a good. I'm very happy with the book, but the title "Sex and Natural" doesn't really nail what the book is about. It's when you have to explain your book title, you should probably ponder another one. So it's on Humana Vitae for skeptics in light of the HHS mandate, Obamacare, some new reproductive technologies that have come up, and now the teaching of the Catholic Church is in the crosshairs of the culture of death. And I argue in the new version of the book that you can draw a straight line from the rejection of Humana Vitae in 1968 to Obergefell Hodges. Once you have decoupled love from life in the sex act,
mm-hmm.
there's no sexual perversion that you can argue against.
Right.
The logic is just inexorable. Mm-hmm. And it's led to all kinds of inadvertent confusions, like what is man that thou should care for me? What is a male? What is a female?
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of these, all this whirlwind of confusion stems from departing from this 2,000-year deep instinct that love and life belong together.
Right, yeah, because there's no responsibility now associated with the sexual act. You know, there's no children to take care of, because
right.
those are, you buy those from the lab.
Correct.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I got a couple of examples in the book of court cases in which, I'll give you one quick example. Couple are married, they're infertile, so they hire two separate parties, sperm donor and a rent-a-womb woman, so a surrogate mother with a sperm donor. They do their thing, the conception happens in the glass, put into the mother, then there's a court trial, because when a legal battle develops, because the womb mother, who was hired as a surrogate, bonded, changed her mind. She wanted to keep the child. 8 years later, the first couple divorced. So, who's the father? Well, a judge stepped in and said the father was the lab tech that squirted the semen into the glass, which was the efficient cause of the conception. This is where we're at.
Wow.
So we're at just twisty, turny, pretzel-like craziness. So in other words, the teaching of Humana Vitae, we generally think of it as no sex without babies, or at least you ought not sabotage the sex act, which is ordained by God to be fertile.
Right.
Well, the flip side is no babies without sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. For instance, if you're arguing with a gay activist who really wants, who's glad for a Obergefell Hodges, they're delighted that marriage is redefined. Ask them how they define marriage, because the activists who've successfully redefined marriage legally invariably will define marriage as some emotional bond between two people who love each other.
Right.
They don't mention sex.
Right.
The Christian definition has to include it. If you can't perform the sex act, you're not a candidate for marriage.
Right. So could you marry your children? I mean...
How could you argue against adult male siblings?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's gross. Well, no. It's your definition.
Right.
Or gross is not that important. Yeah, I'm going off of your definition.
Or a father and a daughter. I mean, if they love each other too. I mean...
It could be endless.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes I feel like we need to resist the way the culture is moving. And then there are other times where I feel like, no, you know what? We just need to encourage it.
And let them fall on their face.
just reduce this whole thing to absurdity.
Is that why you're wearing a gay pride t-shirt? Is that what we're going with this? I like your rainbow logo.
Thank you.
Well, I'm trying it out. We'll see.
Things but that like, translate
with
well.
People since with
the, when the whole bathroom thing was going on a year ago or so,
yeah.
I was like joking around with some friends that from now on, guys, let's only use the women's restroom. Let's convince every man in the country to only, let's just embrace it, okay? And
to hasten the chaos?
Right, and so I was joking, like, if I have to take a dump, I identify as a woman. In those moments, I identify as a woman, okay?
And like, I identify the salad bowl at the Denny's bar as a toilet. Can you identify like other stuff as other stuff?
That would be awesome.
I also
identify this as a toilet. Excuse
I tried identifying as like a scratch golfer, and that didn't work either.
That didn't
work
out too well?
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh said he identifies as a 34 waist walking to a tailor.
So you could identify as a saint.
You could what?
Identify as a saint.
I could, exactly right.
You could at least say it.
Go to Rome, demand to be canonized.
Right. Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the dialogue between Bishop Barron and William Lane Craig?
I saw part of it. Is that the one where the annoying woman kept talking? There was a professor, and she just dominated the whole thing.
No. No. It just happened.
I'm thinking that's Jordan Peterson. That's a different thing.
Right. No, yeah. It just happened.
Did he get into why he's not Catholic?
I'm sorry?
Did Craig get into why he's not Catholic?
A little bit, yes. Because of enunciation or the assumption and things like that.
Yeah, I've interviewed Bill Craig, so I know we know each other. He misunderstands merit, too.
Yes, he does.
And from Trent. And he's a Molinist. He's got some sort of heterodox ideas about God's simplicity.
Well, I was going to say, he also would not argue that God is unchangeable. I heard him say that. And when he debated an Irish atheist... couple years ago, and it was just about, you know, Christianity versus atheism. And one of the things that he said in that debate was like, oh, I wouldn't say that God is unchangeable or unchanging.
That's getting at it. Yeah.
And it was just like, what? Yeah. Anyway.
I just hijacked your anecdote, and I'm proud.
Well, the reason why I did bring it up is because he was fascinated with the idea that Bishop Barron was using beauty to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
He could not grasp.
Didn't quite compute.
And he was asking him, like, how does that work? How is beauty mm-hmm. evangelizing
quite
people?
Well.
And you were talking about on your show that you have a several part series on beauty.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. so that's what triggered me, and I thought, is that what really is going to bring people back? Is beauty the key?
There's a line from The Idiot, which my wife says is Dostoevsky's prophetic biography of me. But I forgive her for that. One of the characters in The Idiot says kind of a mysterious line, in the future, man will be saved by beauty.
Yeah.
What is he getting at? Well, in my talk today, I'm going to be talking about how sometimes, as Christopher West has this great phrase, twisted mystics, with crazy left-wing lunatic Hollywood writers that actually retell the gospel inadvertently through beautiful stories.
Mm-hmm.
Some
mm-hmm.
of the movies that have made me weep the most copious were not written by Daily Mass goers.
Right.
I'll do one more plug for my second favorite film of all time, Departures, the Japanese movie. Rent Departures. It's
okay.
about the fragility and brevity of life, the enduring power of fatherhood, and it's told through this simple story of a cellist who loses his job and has to find work, and he gets a job preparing bodies for funerals. But it's
goosebump alert.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
It's beautiful. And beauty through music, beauty through poetry, beauty through a powerful story has a way of kind of doing an end run around the intellect. So that wouldn't compete
down the
for
walls.
Like a double PhD like William Craig.
Oh, he was fascinated. He was fascinated by that concept.
Not rejecting it.
He was just trying to grasp how mm-hmm. beauty was going to bring people into the church. Because he was talking about how his ministry and what he does and how he does it. But then he said, I'm really interested in how you think that beauty is going to bring people into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bishop Barron did a good job explaining, but you could tell he was intrigued, but it did not scratch the itch completely, but he's
right.
still itching.
Well, I think that's one of our great graces of our Catholic patrimony is this commitment to beautiful art. Doesn't matter where you are, if you want to be an artist, you're going to have to eventually prove your mettle by doing a Madonna.
Yeah.
That's like the gold standard. So the most painted woman in human history is the Mother of God. And they never make her so-so. They want to make her absolutely pristine.
Right.
Well, because she gave the word flesh.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I think Dr. Craig's, part of his objection was the Blessed Mother.
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. How did Jesus get his human nature? Did he come down teleport style at age 30 on the side of the Jordan, or did he start as a zygote blastocyst fetus infant,
mm-hmm.
breastfeeding, skin his knee as a kid,
right?
Taken care of by the greatest Jewish mother who ever lived.
Yeah.
Even the blood. This is a really good apologetics thing. It's a simple thing. Protestants are big on the blood of Christ, right? We're saved by the power of the blood, washed in his blood.
Uh-huh.
Where do you get his blood from?
His mother.
Not directly from God the Father.
Yeah.
That was the maternal genome contribution to our salvation came from her, his very body.
You know? Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a kind of a, it's like a co-mediatrix argument in there somewhere that if it's the blood of Christ that saves us, well, Mary's blood is in there, you know, not that it was her that did it, but she played a big part. She helped out.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
More than I was teasing your dad about his participation in your coming
existence.
To be.
Yeah.
Less involved than the Blessed Mothers, right? Have you had Father Don Calloway on yet?
Yes.
I interviewed him when his rosary book came out.
Okay. I forget which book. I think it's the previous book.
Champions of the Rosary.
But before that, that's a good book too. He talks about the fetal mitochondrial.
That is fascinating.
From biologics.
Yeah.
Is that the Theology of the Body and our Blessed Mother? He has a book called, like, Theology of the Body and Our Blessed Mother.
No, I think it's another one.
Okay.
But it's a biologics discovery. It's seven years old or so.
Huh.
That every baby shares blood data with the mother, mm-hmm. and it stays in her system forever, even if she loses the baby through miscarriage or abortion. And
oh, you were telling me that the other day.
Yeah, about
and
how
the baby fights for, on behalf of the mother's immune system decades
right.
after.
Yeah, like her whole life.
Which makes you think, well, apply this to the assumption. Our Blessed Mother is in heaven, body and soul.
Mm-hmm.
She's suffused with her son's DNA. Now, it never
wow.
leaves her.
Yeah.
It makes you think about your relationship with your own mother and so on. But just another, I think, a good example of how science and faith are harmonious.
That yeah.
The two sources of truth, they're both God, so they're both, they can't have a true contradiction.
And it's a beautiful Eucharistic. I mean, she had Jesus' blood literally mm-hmm. in her. Her whole life. Well, mm-hmm. you know, all mm-hmm. of Jesus' life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just awesome.
Yep.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. You'd say I'm a fan. Cheers.
I like to do this.
Yes.
It is nice.
I feel like I need to do like some Foley artist stuff. Like, shoes.
I wonder if we can play the cups. We haven't tried that.
Oh, yeah, we could.
We'll try it later. Anyway, Patrick, thank you for being here with us.
Oh, no, yeah. I've got 9 hours of material. I'm just getting started.
Oh, okay, let's go.
Well, hey.
Well, you stay here.
We're going to get some more coffee.
Right.
And take the show away.
Yeah.
I like your retro radio. You guys do such a great job. I bitterly resent your industriousness, your taste for logos, and the great gig going on.
Well, thank you.
I can see your fans are now customer.
I think it's only because you're here. But we'll take it.
Forbids me saying
you didn't want to say it, but
right.
I mean.
But we'll take that.
You're right.
Thank you for saying it. Burble.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, good luck today. I guess, actually, you know what? Somebody said good luck, and they were like, no, luck's for pagans and the unbaptized.
Yeah. I don't believe in luck. I believe in God.
Believe in grace. Well, grace be with you.
Break a leg.
Grace, in French, it's mère.
It's what?
Mère.
Mère?
M-E-R-D-E. Mère.
Mère.
It's French for, I'm going to say, a profanity shit.
Oh.
That's after say, and still break a leg. Mère. Yeah. Truth to truth.
There, we got that out of the way.
You're all welcome. You identify as that area.
Yeah. Hey, oh, you're going up on stage? Well, shit.
Thank you. Wow. This can I share an ecumenical story? We can
yes.
put it. We'll put an ellipses on our story.
Okay.
So it's a guy who he's walking on a bridge. He's not paying attention. And up ahead, about 10 yards, he looks up and there's a guy about to jump. And he stops and he says, "Sorry, are you about to jump off?" "Yeah, why not? I got nothing to live for." Hold on a second. Before you do, he steps a bit closer. Don't come any closer. He says, "Are you a Christian?" He says, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "I'm a Christian. Are you Protestant or Catholic?" "I'm a Protestant." "I'm a Protestant." Gets a little bit closer. I'll jump. Go, hold on, calm down now. "Are you a Calvinist or are you more of an Episcopalian?" "I'm a Calvinist." "Brother, I'm a Calvinist. God sent me here to you. There's so much to live for. I don't think so. My wife left me and I'm drinking too much." And "Listen, are you part of the Calvinist Reformation 1750 or Calvinist Reformation 1812? "I'm Calvinist Reformation 1812. "Okay, push them off the bridge. "Die, heretic scum." Thank you. On that ecumenical note.
People wonder why there's not unity in the church.
Yeah.
You know?
Just get rid of the sinners.
Right.
Okay, the church would have two members, but it would work out better.
It'd be a good-looking church, though.
It would be a good, genetically pure... See, now you can't even say that. Genetic and pure cannot go in the same sentence.
Like we took a Nazi turn all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know?
It's sort of dark. Yeah. Does Coffin have a German accent?
Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much, Patrick.
Right,
I appreciate it, Ben.
All right, thanks for
being
what you do. All right.
Hopefully we'll share a dram this evening.
A wee dram.
Yes.
A wee dram. Gieß es Wally.
Yeah, Gieß es Wally.
All right. God bless and be well.